Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's In This League with Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh.
On the radio.
30. I'm on right now. I don't believe you.
You boys in line.
A lot of injuries. Short career in the bigs. Lots of injuries so far. It's the back, obviously the collarbone last year, but I just want to see a season of this guy. I think he's really talented. So yeah. Stay on the field, bro. Let's go.
But I think it's enough to be like, all right, we can get back.
Yeah. That's fine. Yeah. That's not going to affect my draft stock for him at all.
That's kind of how I was with Jordan Walker. Like, I don't love, like, I was kind of like table fisty, like pounding the table for Jordan. Not trying to fist a table, but I'm saying I was trying to pound the table with my fist for Jordan Walker. And then, he didn't have a great spring. And then he stepped on a freaking sprinkler and he hasn't been playing out there. It's not the same thing, but it's like, I'm not sure all of it is enough for me to be like, hey, everything I was looking into should be dead. So same thing with like Jung Hoo Lee. Like there's some injury worries out there. Him having a clean bill, I think, is enough to get him back on the board. If we could just hear that Jordan Walker defeated the sprinkler, maybe we could put him back into it. But I'm with you. Like Jung Hoo Lee is kind of back on the board now that we have some good news. A couple others. I mean, you're just taking blow after blow, dude. Jesus Sanchez, another oblique injury. Oblique strain is going to miss a month. He's going to start the season on the IL.
Yeah, I don't. And look, if you're already missing a month, again, you're off the radar. So Jesus Sanchez coming off my draft list. I just don't know how long this is going to be because it's a month. And then let's see where he's at in a month. Obliques, you know, last a long time. They're very, very varying in severity. So I just, with one that says, hey, you're shut down for a month, just snap to go. Off the draft list. Sorry. Yeah. That was when I was watching you on the Fantasy Fest. It was me and Bloomfield versus you and Bubba on Jesus Sanchez.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. You were in the chat. Yeah. And he loved Jesus Sanchez. I think Sanchez is now a guy that you let go undrafted. You pick him up when he gets a little bit closer. You stash him on the IL, see what happens when he gets back. If you're in a 5 outfielder, but yeah, it kind of takes a little bit of it off. Matt Waldron's going to be miss the beginning of the season. Oblique injury, of course. Tyler Stevenson start on the IL with what? Yes, an oblique injury. Not an oblique, but it was. Well, actually, let's do this one because this one also. Jeff McNeil, 3 to 4 weeks with an oblique injury. Holy oblique. And finally, it's a hamstring, but Luis Rengifo has returned to the lineup after dealing with a hamstring
positive
injury.
News. Yay.
I am like locked in to what the hell the Angels are going to do because there's word that like Tim Anderson has been a pile of garbage and he's played in the outfield.
No,
but there's
not
like
Tim Anderson.
There is a rumor out there that it's like Tim Anderson might be the second baseman because of, I'm forgetting now, whatever injury was going on. And it's like, what about Christian Moore? Like, let Rengifo play second and then Christian Moore, let him be the third baseman. I hope they don't. Because Moncada's going to start on the IL.
Moncada?
Yeah. Moncada and Tim Anderson cannot hold Christian Moore back. That's what I'm really dialed into.
Listen to the left side of this infield. It is Yoan Moncada and Kevin Newman. So there's opportunity there for Christian Moore for sure.
And they've been talking, they've just kind of been talking him up and how good he, I really hope, I mean, at the end of the day, like my expectation is they're going to like send him down to double A, but it seems like how they've held him and how they've played him, really legit shot. He's second base or third baseman. You've already got some injuries. Let Newman be your shortstop until Neto comes out. Then he can move to the bench. Just don't let Moncada and like Tim Anderson and stuff hold you back. That's what
we
I'm
just, really we have no update on Neto. Nothing. The last report I'm seeing here on RotoWire is from the 8th.
I think they were essentially saying like he is probably going to start on the IL. They just don't know what the extent of that is going to be. If it's going to be like a small stint or if it's going to be longer, but it's enough that they're going to have to make a move, and I'm hoping Christian Moore makes the lineup. All the other just player notes, Cubs were negotiating with Lance Lynn. Never heard anything about that. And Derek Shelton said he is not fully committed to Derek to Bednar being the closer. And I don't love that. But he had one bad start. No, he had one bad outing, and then the rest, not fantastic, but like I think 3 runs were carried by one outing or something like that. So I don't know, but They are washy about it, which I don't love.
Yeah, it's just not – Bednar is just not a safe option. That's how you have to consider him when you're drafting. He's not.
And I have a share of him, which is not great. So
we'll see.
Doesn't make me feel super good about it. All right, those are some of the news and notes around spring, also breaking down the first game. Let's take a break. When we come back, we are going to kind of plow through, talk a little bit more here or there where we can about an interesting – fantasy player for each team, and it's the degrees are going to vary from bigger to smaller, but we're picking a player from each team kind of inspired by something MLB did, and we will do it hitters and pitchers right after this.
In this league,
somebody royally forked up. Somebody forked up. Why can't I say fork?
If you're trying to curse, you can't hear.
Full shirt.
Holy mother forking shirt boss.
You guys can also check out In This League at inthisleague.fans. We got the shirts, and Bogman was mentioning we need to get some new merch up there, but we still got the baseball shirt and Boggs Jr. and some other great stuff. You can check that out today. Also a link on our Patreon. I believe it's the pinned post still, where you can click through to the merch store if you want to check it out. So MLB did it like divisionally, AL, NL. We're actually going to just go hitter, pitcher, but we are picking one player per team that has had like a good spring and what fantasy relevance kind of comes from it. So some of these these are the guys that we picked or we agreed on from this thing that we saw. We altered some. Some are going to probably be a little bit more discussion. Some we're going to kind of move through, but these are some interesting fantasy ones. So we're going to start with hitters. We're going alphabetically on the hitters. So these, not every team has a hitter, but these are just the hitters per one player per team. And I will tell you, this is one of my favorites, kind of kicking myself because we did the sleeper show on Fantasy Pros and we're trying to pick deep names and I almost picked this guy and I moved away from it. And I've talked about him a lot of time, like a bunch, but I've never like really honed in. But I am a big Jacob Wilson fan, and Jacob Wilson has had a pretty fascinating spring. He's hitting 250. It's not phenomenal or anything like that, but what is great, almost half of his hits have been of the extra base variety. Why this is important is because Jacob Wilson is a high contact, low strikeout, decent walk guy that really never has exploded in his counting stat department. So it's kind of like a Luis Arraez type of player, frankly. Well, this spring, his power is starting to take off a little bit. He's hit 4 homers so far. He had 2 just the other day. And like that's the thing that you look for, is because he can get across his body on his swing a little bit, but he makes such good contact, has really, really good decision-making skills that it's like, well, if he can just start barreling up a little bit more, you could be more than a 2% barrel guy. Maybe you could be like CJ Abrams. You could barrel 6-7% of the time. He has some hard hit numbers. He's a big kid, 6'4". If he's like a 15-15 guy, and then with that batting average and low strikeouts, I mean, points leagues way up. I think category leagues are up. I just think I'm very much for the arrow up on Jacob Wilson.
I am too. I will throw a little cold water on this, because where does he hit? Roster Resource has him projected at 9. I don't see him. It's Butler, Rooker, Blade, Langoliers, Soderstrom, Geloff. That's the top 6. So then it's Seth Brown, platooning, Urshela platooning, than Jacob Wilson. So I do think he probably sticks to nine without an injury or someone performing really bad. So low lineup guy. But if you're in a deeper league, I think Jacob Wilson's a great pick. Very underrated.
I do think there's the potential. I'm not saying they would do this, but I do think there's the potential that you could have Jacob Wilson hitting two or one. I think he'd be a great leadoff guy. Move Butler to two, Rooker to three, or you could move Butler to three and keep Rooker at two. And
where
then Blade
Kirkland have him. Let me see.
And Blade could go down. I like Blade. I think there's a lot of different directions he could go, but like I'm not saying they'll do this because in the AL, you also, there's just this old traditional, like, hey, if you get another leadoff hitter at nine, yeah, that's definitely the possibility. But if you get any struggles or Jacob Wilson is hot, I do think there's a potential that he could hit one or two for them.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I generally come in at least 15 minutes late. I use the side door. After that, I just sort of space out for about an hour.
Space out?
I probably only do about 15 minutes of real, actual work.
Would you
be a good sport and indulge us and just tell us a little more? Let me tell you something about
In This League.
He's hit in four different spots. Well, I just want to take a wild guess at where they are in the lineup.
Oh, man, I guess it's like 9, 3, 5.
No, it's the obvious ones.
Oh, it is. So it's 1, 2, 1, 2, 8, 9. Okay.
That's it. Yeah. Those are the places he's been hitting is 8, 9, 1, 2. So either at the very bottom or the very top. So kind of tough to know where he is, but I think in that complete lineup, I think he hits nine.
But I would say like if he is, you know, getting on base, projected,
there's
like
opportunity. It's still the
walk rate.
Yeah.
Yeah. If the walk rate went up a little bit, but he's such a low K guy. And if he hits for average, I think you might be in a better position having Butler hitting three and more of an RBI spot. Or again, if you want to go righty, lefty, righty, have Butler hit two and Rooker hit three. That's a pretty devastating top order. I'm not saying it's going to happen. I just think there is the possibility, which is why like I'm very much in, and I agree with this on the four homers of Jacob Wilson. What is the Atlanta most interesting fantasy player?
How about Drake Baldwin? Sean Murphy's hurt. Drake Baldwin's hitting .333. No homers, but 10 hits hitting, or his OBP is .444. He's got a couple doubles in there. And let's not forget, you know, Sean Murphy, historically a very good catcher. What do you remember what he hit in the 72 games he played last year?
I remember it was like not good. It was like 234.
192.
Oh, whoops.
192. So bad. He had 10 homers.
Oh, he's hurt. He's hurt right now. But that's what makes this so interesting is that Baldwin, for all intents and purposes, looks like he's going to make the opening day roster because he is out. And I think he has the potential to hold on to this for a little bit. I just don't know if he's anything more than Adrian Del Castillo, where it's like when Murphy's healthy, he's out there. But Murphy has also struggled and not healthy. And Baldwin is very much an offensive-sided catcher. I got to watch him a ton in the AFL, talked to him a couple times. I mean, he's got triple the walks to strikeouts in spring training so far, makes a lot of contact. Like, he's kind of a classic catcher, and I think he catches a really good game as well. I just wouldn't be surprised if he gets more playing time. Two catcher leagues, he's fantasy relevant.
We have Naylor and Bregman for the D-backs and the Red Sox, but they're just having hot springs. I don't know if, you know, hot springs for guys that are veterans, not going to really come on my radar most of the time, right? Like, it's fine.
I don't know if it's a
hot spring, it's good, but I'm not taking anything massive away from it.
I think that's maybe a decent way to say it, because I wouldn't say, like, take away huge stuff, but I will tell you, there are things that make me feel more comfortable. Bregman signing with Boston makes me feel more comfortable. He's had a great spring, seems to be connecting. He's in a hit in a prominent part of the lineup. Like, I think he deserves more. And Naylor kind of locking in as well. I mean, hitting almost .500. I think it's just classic Naylor. The stolen base thing is just funny in spring. That's not going to happen. But like, I think the homers are going to come in like spurts. He's going to drive in a ton of guys. If Corbin Carroll continues at spring and gets back to that rookie year Corbin Carroll, and he's at the top of the lineup, every time he's on base, he's going to score. If you have Ketel Marte and Josh Naylor hitting right behind him, there really are tremendous RBI opportunities that Naylor might once again be like, he might underserve homers a little bit, but hit 100 RBI. So I just feel better. I had a bigger cushion between him and Christian Walker. And then between like Christian Walker and the injury and Naylor's great spring, I think that closes a little bit. I'm a little bit more comfortable with Naylor. But yeah, to your point, two big guys, Arizona, Josh Naylor, Boston, Alex Bregman, those are bigger. What about this one? And I think this is only a deep league play. The Chicago Cubs, Gage Workman, because like, I think you could pick Matt Shaw in this. You know, he broke camp and everything. Pete Armstrong has been phenomenal. But Gage Workman has put himself in a position to have a gig and an injury away from maybe being more significant. I mean, if Nico were to be traded, you just never know what this team could end up doing. Hit over 400, three homers, three stolen bases, not crazy strikeouts, RBIs through the roof. Gage Workman, hook him, by the way.
Yeah.
But forks hook him. ASU. Gage Workman looks, I never thought he was really the part of a dude when I saw him like in the AFL and or even in college, but he seems to be putting some of this stuff together and he's very dudeish right now. I'm not sure in like a 50 team draft and hold, is he a target at all?
50 round. I would say he kind of has to be for the spring that he has.
Okay, 15 team with like a 7 bench. Is it somebody that you would speculate on?
Probably not. In a standard league, but you at least, you know, he's a watch list guy, right? Because Nico Horner is going to come back at some point. And then you have, Swanson and they have, you know, Birdie is playing over him right now.
And Birdie had like the hardest hit ball in that first game. And then I think
he also had a base. Massive error. He way overthrew first base and it cost him a run. So yes, the bat is great, but the defense was miserable from Birdie yesterday. So we'll see what happens there. But I think Birdie kind of hurts Workman's value. So I think it's going to take injuries, but Nico Horner starting with an injury. So he at least, like you said, needs to be on the watch list.
I think he's a watch list guy for sure. Yeah, I agree with you. Cincinnati, I think, I'm not sure if there's anybody that really shines or is super sexy. I mean, Matt McClain has kind of popped back up, but I would say Christian Encarnacion Strand has really kind of moved a tier. I've had big questions about both him and McClain, for better or for worse, from AFL and just some of the work and positionally, like where Strand was going to go. It looks like, I mean, the optioning out Noel V seems to kind of open up a little bit more, that I think there's less question. Also, Steer is hurt. And CES has had a pretty solid spring. He's hitting just around 270, and he's had three homers so far. He is striking out quite a bit because he's still rusty. But, man, I am hearing a lot of positive industry stuff on Strand. I'm still not there. I'll acknowledge, like, this is a good spring, and this is a good positive. You know, if we're picking an individual from a team from a fantasy perspective, I think he deserves it. Because he's getting so much push from people, I'm just still not quite there. Are you big team CES?
I'm really not. Because this is a great spring and everything, but there's just so many other guys that can play this spot if he starts bad. So
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The snozzberries taste like snozzberries.
I'm freaking out, man.
You are freaking out, man.
Littering and...
Littering and...
Littering and smoking...
In this league.
Break it down.
The spring is important. It puts him, at the top of the list here, especially with Steer not being able to make it for opening day. But if you struggle right out the gates in the regular season, CES, I'll have zero shares. I just don't like the situation, even with the nice spring.
And it might really roll. A surprising one, and I just don't know what the team ends up doing with it, is Spencer Torkelson. Who is the DH, projected DH for Detroit right now? I'd be very curious, because while you look, Torkelson this spring, 297, He's hit four homers. He struck out a bit, decent OBP, but he has shown more of an impact back bat and kind of been the guy again. But that job is done. That's Colt Keith. He is the first baseman of this team. They're also talking about Justin Henry Molloy getting some potential. So I'm just curious, what is Roster Resource slating Spencer Torkelson right now?
They got him a DH.
Okay, that's what I was
hitting
thinking.
Six. So, you know, this is with Vierling on the IL and Parker Meadows starting the year on the IL. But Vierling comes in to play third, right? So Javier Baez goes back to the bench or moves to short where they have Trey Sweeney. And then when Parker Meadows comes back, then it's probably Wensiel back to the bench or platoon with Carpenter or something.
It seems so, like Torkelson could lock down that DH spot if the bat keeps going. Maybe there's a
tiny and so Meadows comes back, Torkelson. Then it might be Torque versus Carpenter if Carpenter doesn't start out hot. Right now they've got him platooning with Jones and Ibanez. I don't know how much that's going to happen, but we'll see. Let me see.
There's also the potential for platoons because Carpenter's a lefty, so you could do You could do platoon. I mean, that would be the small side platoon for Torkelson. But I guess what I'm getting at is it seems like there is some potential in that lineup if that bat keeps going that they might not give up on it. And if he can carry over the spring, all of a sudden there might be some fantasy value. Because
Torque is hit between three and six, by the way, spring.
And see, here's the thought process. If you told me Torque is the DH all season, that means the bat is staying alive. And Torkelson has 30 home run power. If he hits 250, you could see 30 homers out of Torkelson in that DH spot. And he's hitting, like you just said, in a prime spot in the lineup. If he starts struggling again, then it's see ya, bye-bye. Because they've got, you know, they like Ibanez, they like Wensiel, Justin Henry Molloy is another one of those options. But the spring, I think, has allowed an opportunity. I don't hate in a 15-team league, if it's deep, maybe taking a flyer on Torkelson or monitoring the beginning of the season. He might be a guy that I look at on the waiver wire if that bat kind of keeps going, because you know I think there's some run producers in Detroit might be kind of sneaky. So that's an interesting one. The most interesting, we're still waiting on the news and hopefully it doesn't age poorly, but I think of all the hitters, because then we're going to do some pitchers. Of all the hitters, Cam Smith is probably had the best spring as far as like trajectory to being not only making the roster, but fantasy relevant. Because you could argue Padres, we're going to talk about Gavin Sheets. Gavin Sheets hit like six homers, but Cam Smith is one of the most interesting stories, hitting 423, three homers. He's chilled the strikeouts down, which was a kind of a concern for him. There's not a lot of swing and whiff. He's making a ton of contact. He's impact and he's playing in the outfield. Now, I just literally, as we were talking before, I watched a video that Underdog put out of Jose Altuve just absolutely just getting eaten by another fly ball. Do you want to put two out of position players in your corner and have a bad outfield? That could be the reason, by the way, that this team goes, well, we love Cam, but we're going to send him back down to work on that outfield a little bit more because of the liability. But there's a lot of rumors out there that looks like he could break camp. And I've moved him way up in ranks. And he's a sneaky rookie of the year candidate if he starts out, because that bat is absolutely freaking real. It's just going to be about what trust they have in his defense.
I think they need the bat. I mean, honestly,
I agree. You know,
the trading Tucker, right? And not re-signing Bregman. I think you need this bat in your lineup. Paredes is going to be good, but he is hot and cold, right? So I don't think that's going to stay the whole year. And then the bottom third of your lineup is Chaz McCormick, Dubon, and Jake Myers. That's not good. So I think they need the bat in the lineup. So to me, I think if you look at this logically, that you find a way to get him in there. Play him at third. Put Dubon on the bench or back out in the outfield.
Well, yeah, you could do Prady's at second, and you could have him at third. Like, see,
at least Jordan, even though he's a tank, at least he's used to the outfield. So.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
That, fellas, here's how it works. $15 for it.
In this league.
What's this?
In this league.
If you have to ask, big man, you can't afford it.
$4. Put him out there early in the season. Work with Jose, you know, in the background to play you know, a little bit better defense, get used to it a little bit more, whatever. But I think they need this bat. So I think he makes the club.
Are you drafting Cam Smith?
Yep.
I am too. I think you have to. I think he, and I'd also just as a quick, I'm kind of jumping here. Christian Moore is also on this list with the Angels. I think he's, you know, even though the spring hasn't like popped from a number perspective, he's hitting around 250. The strikeouts might be the thing that get him sent back down, but the Angels are also crazy people, and injuries to Moncada and Tim Anderson being absolutely garbage. I'm just not sure that there's, that they can keep him off of the roster, but right. He's in that same vein. Those two.
I think the thing with Christian Moore is that like, even if he doesn't initially make the roster, it's not going to be long before he's back up because this, I mean, they got holes in that lineup and he can fill them.
Yeah, exactly. The one rookie, I just wanted to throw this out here, who had the most just phenomenal spring, but he already was sent down. Kansas City Royals, I think it's hard to not acknowledge Jack Caglione. Caglione, 5 for 29, more walks than strikeouts, hit 3 homers in spring. They got some stuff, you know, he's got some swing and miss issues. That clearly needs to be worked out. I think they probably want him defensively to keep going, but that's why they pressed him into bridge league and minor leagues and then AFL and then a very aggressive spring. I think he's going to Double-A Arkansas for Kansas City Royals. I won't be shocked if he's up midway through the year. I think if they're looking for a bat influx and he shows in the minor leagues some of that new plate presence and better decision-making, Caglione's going to be hitting 500-foot homers again, like you told
me. Not only did you not make it, now you have to go to Arkansas? Ooh, it's tough.
I know. I've never been. Is Arkansas bad?
Yep.
Okay. Okay. Easy enough. All right. A couple more here. Milwaukee picked Joey Ortiz. Joey Ortiz has actually officially been tabbed as the shortstop for the team. He's going to play short, and Bryce Terang is moving to second. Joey Ortiz, 375, 2 homers, a bunch of runs, and stealing a bunch of bases. I don't know where they have him positioned in the lineup at this moment. Probably not too high. I'm going to guess like probably like 8. Do you have it up?
7. Yeah, okay, it's seven. Let me see. That's roster resource. Let me see where he's been hitting in spring. Let's see. I mean, the very first game, 4-7-3-6. I mean, he is hit 7-6.
I think they can move him around.
7-8. Yeah, you know what? More recently, he's been way deep. He's hit 5-5-6-7-8, somewhere in that range.
I will say though, with Terang, if Terang's already dealing with the injury thing and his opening day questionability, I wonder if he hits higher on the lineup if Terang is out and he's stealing bases like crazy. Pay attention to him. Gavin Sheets of the Padres. I'll just ask you this: are you going to buy this at all? Insane 6 homers, 12 RBIs. He is going to have a position on the opening day roster. Him and Yuli at first, I guess. It looks like it's weird because it's like, what about Cronenworth? Maybe they DH him because you've also got issues with Cronenworth versus Arise. But it looks like they want to keep both those guys. Crazy big power spring. Are you going to have any last pick investment in Gavin Sheets?
Maybe last pick in a deep league. But I don't think either.
Yeah, I think this is going to be a ruse. And Gavin Sheets, I mean, he's hit 233, 203, and 241 over the last 3 seasons. He's had double-digit homers that's been in there, but, you know, it's not an impressive profile. Really bad hard-hit numbers.
Just Mark Reynolds? Aren't they the same guy?
Not even. Mark Reynolds.
He doesn't have that power, but, kind of plays like that.
Ryan Bliss for Seattle. Seattle's kind of devoid of some of them. There's some great guys, but of a fantasy new relevance. Ryan Bliss might get an opportunity. Stealing some bases, hitting over 329. Very, very positive. One of my I'm actually going to blast through these last 2 because I just want to mention my favorite of the hitters, and then we'll go a little quicker on pitchers. Toronto, Alan Rodon, hitting over 400, 2 homers. There's definitely fantasy relevance. He's a deep league guy. Nassim Nunez with Washington, 7 stolen bases. I remember watching him in the AFL, hitting 464. Might be another Xavier Edwards to pay attention to. But my favorite of all these guys in the spring, Cam Smith has been probably the most exciting, but my favorite is Victor Scott. Victor Scott looks, if they don't give him the job, it's crazy. Hitting over 300, stealing bases. He's showing off power again, extra base hits. I think he's had like 2 doubles, 2 triples, 2 homers. He looks like he's got the center field job, and he is free 99. Impressive spring, and you should draft him.
By the way, wow. Okay, this is a turnaround, because I'll say one of the very first shows that we did, I think Mock Draft with Bubba, right? You guys were talking at Mason Wynn, and I said, hey, any love for Victor Scott? And you both spit in his face.
Yeah, well, because the bat looked like it was dead, but between the attention,
young, it's never dead when you're 22.
Yeah, but his bat was a bigger question. Like, okay, what you just said, I agree with Jordan Walker. Like, Jordan Walker's a monster. He's had really high averages. He could hit 30 plus homers like that. But Victor Scott's power has always been in question, the impact of the bat. But yeah, like Ollie Marmol,
power though, you're drafting him to steal them bases.
But he's got a hit to stay in the lineup. That was why he got out before, because he's a great defender.
He Ollie did Marmol hit 210 in AAA last year.
Ollie Marmol was just like raving about his offseason work and what he's doing. And it's carried over. And I think at this point, he's going to get the opportunity, and he's got to be a last round investment for stolen bases. So I think it's a no brainer.
13 spring training games, 5 stolen bases, 53 big league games last year, 5 stolen bases. So,
but he's one of the fastest guys in
he's on the field. Or he's on first.
If he's on the field, I actually went to look if there was like a really good line on stolen bases, and the books aren't giving it. By the way, it is minus money for Victor Scott to steal 30 bases. It's barely plus money for 40, and they wouldn't give me a line on 50. So like, just keep that in mind when you're thinking about where people are at on Victor Scott. All right. Those teams were all allotted hitters. So we still have some teams left, and they are taken up by pitchers. So we'll start with Baltimore in alphabetical order. Tomoyuki Sugano, 10 innings, 11 strikeouts, has not given up an earned run, has a sub-1 whip. He's an older pitcher, but nobody's getting on it, and it is inducing some, he had one big strikeout game, but he's inducing some strikeouts. And I think the reason, you know, why you can pay attention to him is like all the normal guys are the normal guys. Kobe Mayo is sent down. He's pissed off. But like Sagano's a free fantasy asset, and I think he's really stood out in camp early on. And he is someone I have dynasty shares of him. He's 35 years old, but it's like when I can get him for free in these like little, you know, one or two pick drafts that don't have rookies, I'm swooping him up. So I have a lot of Sagano bugs.
Yeah. And I think, you know, just with the amount of blows this pitching staff has taken, and now Grayson looking not great with the cortisone injection, and Trevor Rogers and Bradish being out, and Tyler Wells getting the UCL brace surgery last year, right? Like, there's just, he has a spot. He has a spot locked. So, yeah, I'm, you know, even if there's maybe a hiccup to start, I'm on Sugano.
The Chicago White Sox to target here. Again, talking about the most interesting spring training from a fantasy perspective. I actually think there's a couple guys here. Not Joey Gallo. Did you see he's pitching now?
I saw.
It's amazing. I popped by White Sox camp like a couple days before. Dude was defeated. I've not seen a lot of players.
Seems like such a fun dude, you know.
There's only been a couple times in my career of being around that I've seen a player that you're like, oh, that guy's kind of defeated. Joey Gallo, the number one most defeated player I've seen out there. And you could see the like, oh, this is going to end soon. And he's converting. But saying this is like, there's quite a few players. You know, Chase Meadroth is getting an opportunity. You've got Brandon Drury, who's had a fantastic spring and looks like he's going to have playing time. But I'll throw out Sean Burke, who had some decent starts last year. He's the opening day starter. He's got, you know, the spring has been a little wishy-washy. He's striking out guys. There's been a little bit of walks, but Sean Burke might have some like late round fantasy value that I think to pay attention to.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says
in this league.
Hey, Farva, what's the name of that restaurant you like with all the mozzarella sticks?
In this league. Oh.
Even early on in the season.
Yeah, I mean, you know, last year, even his overall ERA wasn't good. This is just, I think this is more interesting for the situation than his performance. His performance has been mid. But they're going to let him go. And why wouldn't they? When you're this bad, you're just coming off the worst season in league history. just throw your rookies out there. Try to get that extra pick. You know, what are you going to do? So,
sure.
Yeah, I think at least for a shot, he is interesting. I don't know how many shares I'm going to have, though.
I think I'm going to have a couple shares. I'm going to pay attention from this. I don't think he's going to be Garrett Crochet or anything like that. But, you know, you talk about like Cardi likes the over on the win totals. Like, it's just something to pay attention to a little bit. That I think he's more of a streamer, I guess, is a better way to put it. Not a streamer. Probably, I'm looking at this, the hottest pitcher, I think, on this list, Gavin Williams. Gavin Williams is skyrocketing. 8 innings, 1 ERA, sub 1 whip so far, 16 strikeouts and only 8 innings pitched. Everybody's
raving. He's been the best spring pitcher.
Yeah, the spring pitcher overall. Everyone's raving about him, and he is skyrocketing up boards, probably for like a justifiable reason. Are you down with Gavin Williams as inside the top 200? Like, as let's call him an SP. Let's call him SP5.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm there. Just the spring is so good. We've kind of been waiting for it and it happened. Yeah, I'm there. Let's do it.
Yeah, so I think of all the pitchers, he definitely stands out. I'm kind of down to buy it because it's a really good team, offensive support, defense. If the fastball's looking better, you know, if the pairs are there and he's healthy, that's where I think the change happens. And he is like rising up, but I think he's someone you guys should pay attention to. Definitely the standout for the Guardians. Rockies. It's funny, MLB, when they were kind of doing their just spring standouts, I think they put like Nick Martin. Like, it's tough to pick them. The guy, I think, from a fantasy perspective, and you might laugh, it's a pitcher, and it is Chase Dolander. Pitcher in general kind of makes you laugh because Colorado, but I'm looking because I haven't seen any news about it yet. The only thing I didn't want to do is like, there is legitimate rumor that he could make the rotation out of camp, but he also could be sent down at any time because there's not like a big, massive track record, minor league record, but he's got an explosive fastball. He has had a good spring so far from a strikeout perspective. Are these the updated numbers? Because the ERA is a bit inflated. If those are,
unless he started yesterday, those are, no, actually, even if you started yesterday, those are the numbers.
Seven ERA is not good. The strikeouts and the stuff has been good. And that's why it's really a big question. And four of those walks came from a Saturday start. And, he was talking about it, did an interview, in early March about, you know, the big walk game, but outside of, so the other three, he only accounted for three more walks over those games, the next three games. But, I'm still in on Dolander. I think he's a good speculative guy. You know, he still might float in the streamy type of range, but I'd rather him than Sean Burke. I don't know if you have any thoughts on Dolander. Cause this,
yeah, I would rather him than Sean Burke too. Yeah. I think the natural talent's there. But another team just like the White Sox, they're not winning games. They're over there crying about the Dodgers spending money, their owner. So spend some money or shut up, right? Like, figure it out.
Yeah.
They need a dome. Like, their next stadium has to be a dome, so it's not a joke. So the pitching, and then you know, you can attract pitchers to come there, and it's a good market. You know, the Avalanche have shown you, the Broncos have shown you. Sorry, now I'm going down a rabbit hole, but spend some money and quit whining about other teams spending money.
I was looking here. There's quite a few guys that do. A lot of people are doing like Stuff Plus metrics, and I'm looking at one of these. This is TJ Stats from, I think it was the March 8th. Start where he walked four, yet he still had an over 104, according to TJ's Stuff Plus model, a 104 or higher Stuff Plus on all five pitches he threw with a 106, even in that struggling. And the velocity was, you know, averaging 97 on the fastball. It's a very interesting name to pay attention to. Dodgers, Roky Suzuki, we're going to get some answers here very shortly on this game against the Cubs. But he did have two games pitched, 7 innings, struck out 7. Little walky. We'll see where that ends up going, but it's hard to deny it's been a really good spring. Zebby Matthews.
Zebby sent down.
Sent down. 9 innings, 12 strikeouts, walked only 1, relatively unhittable, and he was sent down, Bogman, to the cries of many for Zebby.
Didn't give up an earned run either. So a little surprising, but I don't think it's going to be long. First hint of an injury is Ebby's right back up. So I just don't think this is going to last long. So I'm willing to grab and stash in deeper league.
I think he's a monitor for stream. If he comes up, I think he's someone I do want to look at. I think low ratios are on the table. I'm not sure the strikeouts continue to roll over, but I think low ratios are on his side. So he would be someone I would stream.
Yeah, it's Woods, Richardson, and Chris Paddock at the bottom of this. So Lopez, Ryan, Ober are safe, but one of those guys struggles, he could be right back.
Simeon Woods Richardson has been in the bullpen before too. So I think that that could definitely turn. But also David Festa. You know, David Festa might get an opportunity, but pay attention to stream Sebi. New York Mets, Clay Holmes, trying to pick from them, but Clay Holmes,
a starter.
Yeah, I mean, he's been absolutely phenomenal. He's sneaky in a lot of spots. There's some leagues where he's ranked only as a relief pitcher, and he goes into the like late 200s. You know, Michael King, it vibes of Michael King, fastball, slider, sweeper, two variants of that sweeper and slider, big whiff numbers. Like, I'm trying to draft Clay Holmes as much as I possibly can. So definitely a big spring standout. Will Warren, another spring standout, and all the pitchers are fine. He's going to be the opening day starter. If we get four more days with the Yankees, Will Warren, 15 innings, 16 strikeouts, walked only three, a sub three ERA, a sub one whip in five games pitched, and Gerrit Cole's down.
I saw him pitch.
Heel is down. Did you get to see him live?
I did. It was supposed to be Rodon. It was supposed to start. I was like, oh, this is funny. I can see Carlos Rodon and, you know, maybe Boom or something. And then when we got to the ballpark, it was Will Warren. So looked good. He's a little in the zone. He didn't walk anybody. He gave up five hits in four innings, but he got out of some jams. He looked good.
All right. So you're in?
Yeah. I'm in for, you know, cheap.
I think it's a good Yankee to pick too, because there is rotation spots aplenty. Clark Schmidt's dealing with stuff. Gerrit Cole is out.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Wait, let me explain something to you. I am not
in this league.
You're
in this league.
I'm the dude.
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
Get it! Luis Heel, I don't know if he pitches this year. And the Yankees are not, you know, they haven't gone and acquired Alcantara. They're not signing Kyle Gibson. They're just kind of standing pat. And one of those reasons might be because of Will Warren. So I think that speaks well. One of the biggest buzzy players out there is Bubba Chandler. Bubba Chandler has been nothing short of electric. And, you know, I don't think it's going to happen. I didn't even see, let me see. I don't know if he got the official send down yet, but he's going to be in the rotation this year. If you are going to do a Jared Jones Skeens like thing, this might be the guy, because Andrew Painter, from a stuff perspective, would be the dude, but he is officially not pitching till midseason. There's a legitimate shot anywhere from Bubba Chandler. I think they did officially move him to AAA with Thomas Harrington and Braxton Ashcraft. I think he's the first guy. I think he'll be the first one up. It could happen in April. It could happen in early May. He might be one of the few pitchers of minor leagues, if maybe one of the only ones, even minor leaguers, to invest to hold just for a couple weeks to see if he gets a call up, because his stuff has been absolutely electric. He has been filthy. And he had that funny comment where Paul Skeens got announced as the opening day starter. And then Bubba joked with Skeens and said, oh man, that's going to be a real bummer next year when you're having to be the number two. implying that Bubba's going to be the starter. Like, Bubba's like the dude, man. One of the best fastballs in all the minor leagues. Bubba, you got to invest in.
Yeah, I mean, look, Pirates have done a decent job drafting. It's just keeping these guys. So, you know, let's get this rotation going. Best ballpark. This is voted like number two ballpark in the world, or in our country, among every sport. PNC, like, let's get a good team together.
Have you been there?
I haven't been to that one. No,
I feel like you need to go.
Yeah,
you should fly.
I'm not going anywhere ever again.
Stop through Florida.
Yeah.
How far is Pittsburgh from you?
Yeah, you know, Florida, yeah, far. Florida man, I almost attacked the gate agent. Florida man attacks gate agent.
It would have been amazing to do a Florida man story with you on it. The last couple, Philly, Jose Alvarado has had an absolutely electric spring. And
how is this guy not the closer?
Well, because they signed Jordan Romano, and Jordan Romano is I don't necessarily disagree. I wouldn't be shocked if you see Alvarado get some opportunities. If Romano struggles at all early, go immediately pick up Alvarado. Immediately pick him up because he is going to get a closing opportunity, and he has been insane. Robbie Ray has been insane. 9 innings, sub 2 ERA, 17 strikeouts. He's not walked a batter. That's crazy. He has not walked one. Stuff is back, and Robbie Ray is ranked pretty damn low. There is a ton of injury risk, but there's a lot of upside. I actually got to relook.
I think I'm too low on Robbie Ray. I think he's the guy that I probably need to move up. You've been higher on him than I have, but you know, I just don't like guys that don't play games. He's been hurt a lot, honestly, obviously. So I don't know. I think, but this good spring, good ball.
Pants are tight. Pants are tighter than ever. Stuff is flowing.
Yeah. The main reason is the pants. So yeah, I got to move them up.
Would you believe too, like in the most obvious of things, I don't know if people know this, like Robbie Ray's a weird dude. Like not just because he wears his pants.
Well, that's
like,
just one of his quirks, right?
Yeah. But he's like a real life. Like he's a weird guy. Like he grunts at people and stuff.
See, would you be weird?
That's where I'm going. Would you guessed it that Zach Greinke, Robbie Ray was pitching in Complex League last year, multiple starts. Guess who came to every start? Zach Greinke, because they're buddies. And I was like, well, this is like, this is the Dumb and Dumber. Like these two are the two, and more eccentric. Like these are the two most eccentric baseball players I've been around. Like one grunts, both of them probably grunting about guacamole and just it's such a weird situation, but Robbie Ray is still there. The last two young guys we talked about earlier, Jack Leiter said a great spring, 17 strikeouts in 14 innings. Walks have been up there, but he's had a 3 ERA. His stuff looks good. He's mixing those pitches to a level that's finally working for him. His fastball is flying. His slider is biting, and it looks like he's going to get a rotation spot. He's another guy to pay attention to late. And finally, this has been one I've had a couple people be like, man, no one's talking about him. Joe Boyle with the Tampa Bay Rays. You want to talk about a standout of the final standouts. Joe Boyle got him from the Reds, 10 innings, 15 strikeouts, around a 3 ERA, 5 walks, has insane stuff. Classic Rays could fix and work this out, and we'll see where it goes. What does the rotation look like on the do you have a depth chart of the Rays real quick? Because I'm curious the path for Joe Boyle, because
brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.